بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، ثم الحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، ثم الصلاة والسلام على نبيه وحبيبه وعلى آله وأصحابه، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. وقال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الجنة تحت أقدام الأمهات، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله المولانا العلي العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected honorable ulama-i-kiram, beloved brothers, Allah forgive us, many a times we don't appreciate what we have because we don't know what it is not to have it. Allah make me understand this, Allah make you understand this. Many a times we don't appreciate what we have because we don't know what it is not to have it. How many of us, if we do a simple survey, forgive me if I say this, we live within the radius of approximately 5 kilometers to a masjid. But how many of us appreciate the presence of the masjid in our area? Just to illustrate this, one of my good friends, Allah Ta'ala give him long life, Allah take khidmat of deen from him, he went to Brazil for Taraweeh. We all know, our young brothers know Brazil for soccer. And that's where it ends. Who plays for which team and who has what style. Anyway, he says, we were performing Taraweeh in a certain area. Brazil is a long country. This brother, just to be able to perform Taraweeh, used to take a flight. The period it used to take him to take a flight, get to the airport, formalities, be on time for your flight, 45 minutes to an hour before, used to take him 3 hours. From the airport to get where they were reading Salah by bus used to take him another 3 hours. 6 hours just to get to a place where there's a masjid and there's Muslims in the area to read Taraweeh Salah. So he couldn't do it every day. He used to come on Friday, come perform Taraweeh with them, stay till Sunday after Taraweeh, take a bus back to the airport. From there, another 3 hours for formalities. 6 hours, he used to say, by the time I used to get there was a little bit of rest, sehri, and I had to go to work. So a person actually had to take a flight to get to the masjid. Some of us drive so fast, we fly to the masjid. Yet Allah forgive us, we have taken the masjid in our area for granted. We don't appreciate Islam because we don't know what it is not to have Islam. And to appreciate what Allah has granted the woman of this ummah, we have to go back to what it was prior to Islam and the advent of Islam. What was the condition? How were women treated prior to Islam for us to appreciate what Allah Rabbul Izzat gave the woman? Really, after this, Allah make us all understand, Allah make a woman folk understand, there is no culture, there is no religion, there is no code of any country or law of any country that can claim that they give more rights, honor, dignity and status to women than Islam. Prior to Islam, the women were treated so lowly according to different cultures. The one culture, it was a norm that when the husband passed away, the eldest son would then, like how inheritance is distributed, his wife or wives would be distributed and the eldest son would take them into his possession. So like he would probably inherit his father's car or his father's building, he would inherit one of the wives also as part of his property. According to another culture, it was a norm for them to treat women so lowly that they become now part of the belongings. And eventually, it used to lead them to committing suicide. To such a low extent that they would commit suicide by burning themselves. They used to call it sutti. It was a name given for it. We know and we've heard about this, how in the Arab culture it was such a disgrace and embarrassment for them to have a daughter, that imagine for a father, now maybe many fathers won't want to admit it, but the relationship between father and son, father and daughter is normally very strong. stronger than father and son. But likewise, I mean, mother and son is just as strong, if not stronger. Imagine for a father to dig a hole, place his young infant daughter into that hole, throw sand on her, hear her cry to death. Actually, you can't imagine for a father to hear his daughter cry till she suffocates to death. What extent did they... Sa'sa bin Najiyah, he was one of the chiefs, those chiefs that were but soft-hearted, that couldn't bear this, used to actually buy the child, those infant daughters from the parents to say, okay, don't bury your daughter alive if you find it embarrassing. Rather, let's sell her to me. He says, I bought up to 300 daughters, girls like that in infancy, just to save their lives. Imagine a father who used to feel so embarrassed that a girl is born in his home that he would actually sell her off. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this world with the best of mankind, Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Our beloved Master Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came as a mercy unto mankind, came as a mercy unto men and like equally to women. He came as a mercy unto human beings and he came as a mercy unto animals as well. Our beloved Master Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not even see an animal being ill-treated. So anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and Allah Ta'ala wanted to change a train of thought. So Allah Ta'ala blessed the best of mankind with not one but four daughters. Allah make it that we know their names, Sayyida Ruqayya, Sayyida Ummi Kulthum, Sayyida Zainab and Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Four, not one, four daughters. To show them that if the best of mankind can have daughters in his house, there's nothing wrong with having a daughter. Although Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sons, but he had more daughters than he had sons. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to elevate the status of woman. And the highest goal of any man, one is the materialistic worldly goal. Maybe a person wants to qualify, graduate. Maybe the highest obviously would be to become Warathatul Anbiya, to become an alim. Or he would become a doctor, or he would become a professional in a certain field, an accountant or a lawyer or whatever it may be. That is a certain profession, achievement, accomplishment in dunya. But the highest goal is when a person gets jannat. Because Allah forbid, off the topic, forgive me for digressing. To our young brothers here, one of the greatest attacks against the Muslims today is the attack of iman. Protect your iman with your life. Protect. Sufyan Thawri rahimullah lived in one of the greatest eras in the history of Islam. But he used to say, once he was very troubled, he was worried. You could see anxiety on his face. So somebody asked him, what's wrong? He said, there was a time when we used to lament over our sins. But now we worried whether our iman will be safeguarded at the time of death. Imagine, Sufyan Thawri rahimullah, who was an excellent scholar, was a pious man, was a straight A student, in that golden era of Islam, is worried about his iman. How much more important shouldn't it be for you and I in this era, where evil is so rife, where access to evil is so easy? How much more important isn't it for us to make sure we don't question our iman? We don't question the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't question the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We keep our iman intact. So I was giving the young brothers, because there's many young people today also, I'll share this with you. On a lighter note, I said, his father bought him a car, and he's taking his friends with him on a holiday trip for the weekend. So, you know, our youngsters must have sound. Sometimes the sound costs more than the car also. So he has to do up his sound, and he's busy with the wiring. And somebody told him, watch, they're stealing your engine. He said, no, it's okay, I need to get the sound right. He said, be careful, they're stealing the engine of your car. He said, no, it's okay, I just need to make sure the sound is right. Your sound might get sorted, but you won't be able to travel because the engine of your car is gone. Allah has created this machine, and this machine, the destination is Jannat. And the engine of this machine is our iman. So whatever you're going to do and study in life, whatever you want to accomplish, don't give up your engine. Because everything else after that is secondary. Your engine to get you to Jannah is iman. The fuel to that engine is halal food and good company. If your engine is intact, you don't blow the engine. And you make sure you fuel it with good company, and you fuel it with halal food, inshallah we'll meet in Jannah. Make dua, Allah give me Jannah, Allah give you also Jannah. Anyway, coming back to the topic. So, they used to bury their daughters alive like that. Then, there was certain, we know the incident, the condition in Egypt, where every, according to one narration, it used to be once a year. According to some narrations, it was monthly or it was multiple times through the year. They would take a daughter, they would actually go and see for one of the prettiest women, daughters in the homes, and then take that daughter from that family, dress her up, adorn her, beautify her, and then throw her into the River Nile. They used to feel this is our loyalty that we have to show to the River Nile for it to flow. So Islam doesn't tolerate behavior like this. So Islam, Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu anhu stopped it. He said, this is not allowed. So when this happened, the River Nile stopped flowing. According to some historians, the water level dropped. The water level also dropped. So remember, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ We will definitely test you. But when we will give up what we like for what Allah likes, Allah will replace it with better. When we will give up what we like for what Allah likes, Allah will replace it with better. But Allah will test us for a period of time. Allah forgive us, sometimes in the business you feel, you know what, I'm doing this deal, I know it's not right, but I need to make this money. And if you don't sign that deal, or if you don't do that haram transaction, or if you don't sign for that interest-related transaction, then you'll see a drop. And you'll say, yeah, you see, I knew it's going to happen. I just knew it's going to happen. So, that feeling, at that time, but when you do it to fulfill the command of Allah, Allah will test you for that period of time, then Allah will replace you with better after that. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was born in that year when the children, when the sons were killed. But Allah saved his life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him victory over the men who wanted to take his life. So here again the water level dropped. And then he wrote to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar, what must I do? Then the famous letter of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, oh, River Nile, if you're flowing on your own, stop flowing, we don't need you. But if you're flowing by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, nowadays people think they've advanced because through their phone, they can connect to their coffee machine. So they feel they've advanced. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was already that time communicating to the River Nile by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, till today the River Nile flows. Allah ta'ala gave izzat. Coming back to what I was telling you, the highest stage goal of any man is Jannah. And that Allah is kept under the feet of the mother. Write down, if Allah wanted to, Allah could have said, oh man, your Jannah is in your mother's heart. Because when you please your mother, her heart will get happy, you'll get Jannah. Obviously, that's common sense. But to show the status of woman, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, right at the bottom, under her feet is your highest goal. Who can now doubt the status of woman in Islam? Right at the bottom, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ Under your mother's feet. A person came and said, O Nabi of Allah, who is most rightful of my courtesy, consideration, love, respect? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your mother. Today they made a nizam out of it, alhamdulillah. So who? O Nabi of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your mother. Okay, my mother, I understand her position. Who next? After that, O Nabi of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your mother. Second time, your mother. Okay, I understand now how important it is. Okay, the third time now, after that, who, O Nabi of Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your mother. Three times. Then after that, who, O next, O Nabi of Allah, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your father. How many times, forgive me, young brothers, if I have to say, You know your father's strength, might, temper. You know your father, how he stamps his authority. So you dare backchat him. You dare click your tongue at him. You dare challenge him. But the poor mother, she's a softie. So we override her. We talk to her, we want to. Sometimes we break her heart. You're breaking that person's heart under whose feet is your jannat. So that's the mother's position. But we would say, somebody can argue, but the mother is a mother after all. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed the status of woman because they found it embarrassing to have a daughter. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have three daughters in your home, you nurture them, you give them Islamic tarbiyat, you bring them up correctly, you give them all they need to make Allah happy, and then you get them married in the right home. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have secured your access to Jannat. You have secured your access to Jannat if you brought your daughter up correctly. My beloved fathers, Allah make us understand what it is to bring up a daughter correctly. Wallah, it's challenging. In today's time, no doubt it's challenging. It's not easy. But bring them up correctly for the pleasure of Allah. Do it right. Instill the Islamic principles, ethos, qualities, sifat, in those young, innocent girls that are growing up in our home. Make Allah happy, our access to Jannat is sorted, inshallah. Bring them up correctly, they are an amanat in our trust. Then comes the situation with the wife. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَكَمَا قَالَ Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the best amongst you are those who are best to their wives. And I'm amongst you the best to my wives. So how now after the adhan, after the bayan, we'll read our sunnahs, we'll get thawab for fulfilling a sunnah. When we entered the masjid, inshallah, we entered with the right foot, we practice on a sunnah. When we leave the masjid, we will leave with the left foot, we will practice on a sunnah, we'll get thawab for it. When we go home, inshallah, and we'll enjoy the lunch today being a public holiday, and I won't stretch you, don't worry. Then when you'll eat, with your right hand, make niyat, wash your hands and make niyat, it's sunnah. As Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib used to say, when you're practicing on sunnah, keep in mind that I'm doing it because it is sunnah, your love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will increase. And your bond and relationship with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will increase. So like that, when we practice on all this sunnah, we get thawab of practicing on the sunnah. Likewise, if we will treat our woman folk at home with love and respect, it is actually us practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whoever thought that when you are kind, courteous and respectful to your wife, and you are considerate and you overlook her shortcomings, that we are actually practicing on my Nabi's sunnah. You're getting thawab for practicing on the sunnah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us that this is their position. If she's a daughter in your home, you can secure your jannah. If you can treat your wife correctly, then you are practicing on the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you can treat your mother lovingly, kindly, and you can rub her feet, then you have secured your jannah. Who can now doubt the status of woman? But Allah forgive us, the world out there, moving in a total opposite direction, whose navigation has totally done them down, whose GPS coordinates are off, moral GPS coordinates are off. They made us feel as Muslims that we are holding our women folk back, that we haven't given them the position they should be having. So one day a person came, so-called one of those thinkers, we would say, and addressed an alim and said, tell me what is the position of Muslim, of woman in Islam? Because they always feel, they made us feel, they try to make us feel that our women are treated in an inferior way, that our women are treated unfairly, that our women are not treated correctly. When a woman chooses to stay at home, anyway, let's come back to this. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when this alim was posed with this question, what is the status of woman in Islam? So he responded and he said, in your culture, in your surroundings and circles, if a woman climbs the ladder of the corporate world and she gets promotions and she climbs up the ladder of success, then that's your benchmark of success and position of woman. In Islam, the entire next generation is dependent on the role that a mother plays. In Islam, the entire next generation, success or failure, is dependent on the role of the mother. Now I ask you, which role is more important? One company, one business, where a woman is climbing the ladder, or the entire next generation? If every mother plays her role, if every woman understands that it is not just a duty dumped on me, but it is an honor which my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me, that I have to bring up these children who are an amanat, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given me the responsibility as a mother to make the tarbiyat and to nurture those children who are Allah's servants and who are my ummati. When a mother looks at her child with a different eye, that this child in my home and in my amanat and trust is the servant of Allah who came into my belly and into this world as a jannati, and I have to fulfill this responsibility to take this child, grow him or her up, to pass away as a jannati, Allah has kept this on my lap, and Allah has placed this on my shoulders, then this is the position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And when women fulfill this role, then wah, subhanallah, what didn't this ummah produce? What didn't this ummah produce? Imam Bukhari rahimullah was blind in infancy. He was blind in infancy. And his mother kept making dua, till eventually she saw Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in a dream. And she said, and he told her, go and see your son. Till today you were looking at your son. Today your son will also be able to look at you. Allah restored his eyesight. Didn't only restore his eyesight, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. Today, you'll hear muhaddithin and ulama and scholars in Islam saying, Asahul kutub ba'da kitabillah. The most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sahih Bukhari. That came into existence by a young boy who initially was blind and whose eyesight Allah miraculously restored through the dua of a loving, caring, concerned mother. This is the position of the mother. This is who and what our mothers can produce. Allah make us understand. Allah make our women folk understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a very lofty position on the shoulders of every mother. Every woman folk who decides that I need to bring these children up correctly and I need to make sure that they pass away as a jannati, then this role, Hazrat Muhammad Sa'pal and Puri rahimahullah, a great scholar, many of the elderly people will know, his bayans were heard worldwide. He used to read ta'lim, he used to read the fadail kitab to his mother, and his mother told him that I have hope one day that you will read and many hundreds of thousands of people will hear you. And alhamdulillah, that dua of that mother, at that time when mother and son were sitting together, and they were reading the books of hadith and the stories of sahaba to one another, that dua of that mother at that time made him address hundreds of thousands of people at an ijtima. And on that, let us announce that the ijtima is taking place, mashallah, in Newcastle. So whoever can make it, make a point. Whoever can make it should go. Whoever can't make it, make a plan to make it. Every one of us, sometime, maybe tonight, go. Maybe not tonight, then tomorrow, inshallah, go. Try and spend the night there. These are people who have given their lives for the effort of deen. These are people who talk Allah and Allah's Rasulullah s.a.w. 24/7. When we sit in their company, their piety rubs off on us. So, he is to address big crowds like that. And also one last thing that I want to terminate on. Mothers create heroes. Mothers create great mujahideen. Mothers create great people. Mothers also create great mothers. So to our mothers and sisters that are listening, and to our fathers here, Allah give us tawfiq to relay this message correctly to our wives, that you have a duty to bring our sons up correctly, and you also have an added duty to bring our daughters up correctly to become the right mothers. This is also important in today's times. As Mufti Saab, as the ulama of this area, Mulana Chauhan Saab and many of the other ulama, they'll tell you the cases they are dealing with today, where Allah forgive us, a woman doesn't want to fulfill this great role Allah has given her. This great position Rasulullah SAW has given her as an amanat to play the role of a mother. Wallah is not a backward duty. Is not something that we should look down upon or frown upon. So mothers need to create great people who will serve Islam, like our mothers in the past, Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimullah. From childhood we used to hear the story about how his mother told him, don't ever speak a lie. And when those people, those highway robbers, came and tried to steal him, and then they didn't find the money on him, eventually he disclosed it. And he said, listen, I got money stashed here. Now today we would tell a child, how could you be so stupid? He said, no, the money is here, so you never see it. So take it. So he said, but how can you come be so honest to us? We asked you if you got money, you should have told us you got, we never found it on you, we never expected you to be carrying cash like this. He said, my mother taught me never to speak a lie. This one noble trait taught to the, by the mother to this young innocent boy became the sabab of hidayat of all these young, all these thugs. Imagine if we will make our children ulama and we will teach them the correct morals of Islam. Allahu Akbar, the whole world will change. If we as parents can play that role and that mother can play that role, inshallah. On this, coming back to that point, I want to stress and I want to terminate. To our mothers, you have a responsibility to create great people and also to create mothers who will create great people. So to nurture our daughters in that line, to make them understand that role and responsibility Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed on her shoulders. Allah make us all understand, inshallah. Allah make our women folk understand what the great maqam and position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in Islam. Allah give us as men the tawfiq and ability to treat our women folk with love and respect and consideration, like our beloved Master Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah SAW used to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that we appreciate our Islam and we don't think that Islam has treated us unfairly in any way. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.